This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ball change, breaking free as Draisaitl to the net, score! Leon Draisaitl has tied the series with his fourth OT winner in the playoffs. Final score, Edmonton 5, Florida 4, in overtime.
That call on SiriusXM Radio, about as excited as I was out here at Rocco's last night in Omaha watching that Leon Draisaitl overtime GWG. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a series again. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. As I mentioned, we are live in Omaha this week. Great game last night. We'll get into it in detail in a bit.
But incredible.
So fun.
Yes, I mean, it was great. The environment was fun. We were watching it at a local bar for a while and then came up back here to Rocco's to watch the end of it. Atmosphere was absolutely incredible. The game was great. And like you said, now we have a series.
Yes.
Despite the fact that maybe we shouldn't, but we'll talk about that later.
I was banging on the windows here like it was the glass ice side. Really, really fun last night. We'll get into it all. Lots to get to over the course of the next 2 hours, which, as we always do here on the program, producer Brian Ortega, if you would, let's set it up with the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
All right, top three items we have on deck number three. The greatest show on dirt gets underway today. We are at Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha, stone's throw away from Charles Schwab Field. We got two games in bracket one getting underway beginning at 1 o'clock local time here. Coastal Carolina, big -230 favorite in the opening game. Oregon State, a big favorite as well against Louisville to follow that.
Well, and that's the thing, right? It's two pretty solid favorites so far today. And I would think at least, I think one of them specifically is a lot more live than I think the market's giving them credit for. We'll see, but very surprised by the one-sided action it would seem for one of these teams.
Hell of a tease.
Yep.
VSiN host of VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis, former MLB pitcher, also, of course, SEC pitcher with the Vanderbilt Commodores. He's going to join us as well coming up in hour two. Number two in our top three items today, game four of the NBA Finals on deck tonight. Can the Indiana Pacers, who were the second biggest underdog in the finals last 25 years, take a 3-1 series lead tonight on home court?
I mean, they can, but if history is going to tell us anything, or at least this postseason is going to tell us anything, is that the Thunder are going to come out and blow them out. Straight up losers in this postseason are hitting at a 65% clip in the next game. So I guess it doesn't matter. Numbers don't matter. Ratings don't matter. Just lose the previous game. You're going to win and cover the next one. We'll see if that continues today.
OKC, an even bigger favorite in game four than they were in game three, out to six. I saw a 6.5 this morning as well. And then, of course, our top item. We mentioned it right away off the top. No surprise, the Edmonton Oilers with the comeback of the century in the Cup Final last night. And I say that with no hyperbole, which is actually a good tease for Mike Palm. No hyperbole fans. He's going to join us at the end of this hour as well today. But Edmonton is just the second team in Stanley Cup Final history to be down 3-0 on the road, comes all the way back to win it. And the last team that did it, 1919, the Montreal Canadiens. So more than 100 years since this has been done.
We were talking about this before the show started, where it is somewhat similar to what we're seeing with Indiana, where you just keep watching them going, hey, you can't really keep doing this. You can't really keep doing this. Yesterday, we were razzing on you because they were down 3-0. It looked like they were going to get kicked out of the building with not even a whimper. But sure enough, you make the big change in goal. Your team settles in. Connor McDavid screams at guys in one of the intermissions. And then all of a sudden, you lock in, you come back. But if you're Florida, you've got to be kicking yourself here a little bit now.
Missed opportunity.
You were up 3-1 in game one. You were up 3-0 in game four. You could obviously argue, like, man, we could be 3-1. We could be done with this series already if we do what we're supposed to do. But instead, you allow this team to get right back into it, and now you have to go back on the road to Edmonton. So very big missed opportunity, as you're alluding to. But I think you could point to that goal, that change in goal. I think we've talked about this. Skinner has stunk for a very long time, and I think he had to make that change, and it did help a lot.
Yes, and I know a lot of people were even questioning, well, why with Stuart Skinner's issues, are you starting him in this game to begin with? Well, we gave the game four numbers. We talked a lot about the way he historically has come back in series, gotten stronger as a series has gone along. Games four through seven, his numbers were significantly better. Chris Knobloch and company wanted to give him a chance, and obviously it didn't work out. Three goals on, what was it, 17 shots in the first period. They were peppering him with shots. They had multiple power plays. Mm-hmm. But still, Stuart Skinner wasn't good enough. Calvin Pickard now steps in and is 7-0 this postseason in relief of Stuart Skinner, who, if you remember, got pulled after two games in the Los Angeles series. Pickard steps in. He ultimately gets injured against Vegas. Stuart Skinner regains that crease, but obviously loses the opportunity. And I'd be shocked if they didn't go back to Calvert Pickard again. I know that it's been a conversation topic, but it can't be.
It can't be a conversation topic. And I'm going to say this. I think Knobloch got extremely lucky. You can't, like you're alluding to here, to start him and immediately put your team in a 3-0 hole for a guy that has struggled as much as he has, he is very lucky his guys came back in that game and answered, you know, answered with four straight or whatever it was before the overtime game and then, of course, the game winner. You put your team in position to lose that game with the way that you handled your goaltending situation. Luckily, you've got a great team that handles pressure relatively well. But that, to me, is insane. I think Knobloch should be getting crucified a little bit more here today. I know you won the game. But, brother, you put your team in such a precarious position.
Yeah.
When they're down 3-0, in terms of the probability of them losing the Stanley Cup final, it is very high at that point where they're down 3-0 on the verge of going down 3-1 in the series.
From an odds perspective, so start of the second period, Florida's as high as minus 1,400 to win the game. Edmonton comes all the way back in the second period. They take the lead in the third, get out to minus 2,000. It was just a live betting roller coaster. So if you did have the wherewithal to jump in live and you like some of those big dogs, you got a big ticket in your pocket. Oilers ultimately cash is a +125 dog, so our series tied at 2 prop ends up getting
there.
Albeit very much so in doubt there for a moment. A quick recap of some of the other bets that we had last night. Alexander Barkov cashes the anytime assist at minus 105. He finally did it. He makes the score sheet, had 2 early assists in the first period. Connor McDavid over 3.5 shots on goal gets home. No good on Evan Bouchard over 3.5 shots on goal, which was unfortunate, especially because he had 4 shots that missed the net. And if you've been betting overs in this series, you have been making money hand over fist. 4 straight overs. No goal in the first 10 for the first time this series, but all 3 of those goals in the second half of the first period, you still get the first period over as well.
Yeah, market yesterday had a little egg on his face, right? Some spots closing did it really come
minus
190?
I thought minus 180,
okay.
But still very high.
Yeah, Florida really got a lot of support, a lot of steam on Florida late. The under got hit pretty hard when I was on with our colleagues, Dustin Sweetelson, Patrick Maher. They had noted that the game closed at a couple of spots at 6 to the under there too. Mm-hmm. So those that shaped the market and all the action we saw yesterday in that steam took it on the chin. At first it looked like they were going to get right, but then all of a sudden everything goes to hell after a 3-0 lead. But a tough one for the betting market as a whole when you're talking about just the way they pre-flop side and total went yesterday too.
Good call for our guy Brian Ortega, our producer behind the glass with the overtime +280 that comes through. How 3 games of 4 that have all gone to extra hockey.
You imagine if you just bet all four of them, right? You lost one of them, but still, it's absolutely nuts. It goes back to what we had talked about. It would seem, at the very least, what is it, after game 2, where I'd made the joke, like, this is Godzilla and King Kong. These are 2 forces that are just destined to just beat the crap out of each other for forever. You know, game 3 didn't seem like that was the case, but game 4, I mean, we're right back to 2 teams, especially if Edmonton. So let me ask you this as we move this forward. Let's say that what you got last night in goal, he pitched a shutout, but let's say it's an improvement in goal. How much more dangerous does that make this Edmonton team?
It's a significant change, if that's the case.
If they're just getting baseline, like, average production, because it was very below average what they were getting from Skinner.
Well, considering that you're missing a key piece on defense, you have a group that historically has struggled defensively, and you know that Florida finds a way to score goals. Yes, you need that production in net. And to have what was the volatility of a guy like Stuart Skinner, and Calvin Pickard isn't something to write home about. When we talked coming into the postseason this year in that series against LA, I was like, do you trust Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard? No. Probably not. But all this guy's done so far is win games in the postseason. So if you can get that baseline level from him and you still have the high scoring caliber of players that you have in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and all these guys, then yeah, that's huge for them. So you look to the series price now. We're at a pick 'em. It's minus 110 each way. Game 5 going back to Edmonton now. Oilers minus 122, home favorite there. Total 6.5. Still juice to that under, though. People thinking that there's going to get an under, and they're betting it that way. I'm staying away from the totals, or I'm betting overs, and that's about as simple as it gets here. The Conn Smythe market as well, JVT, so insanely volatile. We were talking about this a little while ago on a numbers game with Gil Alexander. Sam Bennett remains your favorite, but we're at plus 150 right now. Leads the playoffs with 14 goals, three more than anyone else. Had an assist on the game-tying goal last night in the third period that forced overtime. If he scores that goal, which was so close in overtime, bounces off Calvin Pickard's glove and off the crossbar and out. If he scores that goal, I think game, set, match. Florida's going on to win the series. Sam Bennett's probably going to score the most goals. Win Conn Smythe. All those things are going to cash. Instead, he doesn't. Leon Draisaitl then scores in overtime. He goes from 12-1 in the Conn Smythe market to the second shot at plus 250. He's got 32 postseason points right now. Connor McDavid also with 32. But Leon with more of the goal scoring. And we mentioned already at the top of this series, you heard it on the goal call, his fourth postseason overtime goal, the second of this series for him. So how significant could that be in the market for a guy like him?
I mean, it's pretty big. I would say, too, that when I'm looking at this, part of me thinks that some of this is a little bit more, we don't want that much Sam Bennett money, so we're going to put it at plus 155 because, you know, there's not a significant gap, but still, to have him at plus 155 and Draisaitl, the leading player of the team that now is favored to win the series, not by much, but still favored at plus 240, it seems a little askew there for the most part. Because Bennett's not in the realm where he's going to win this if they lose, right? He's not in the Connor McDavid realm.
We're not going to have what we had last year where a player on the losing team wins. There's guys that are too good on both sides.
And I think Draisaitl is respected enough. We talked about this with Gil, where those voters will give it to him. If both him and McDavid are similar in terms of production, they go on to win this series in however, whatever amount of fashion it is, that I think is still going to be good enough for Draisaitl to win this thing.
And maybe now, too, a little extra bump from voters, seeing that Leon Draisaitl didn't come out and win the Hart Trophy this year. It was Connor Hellebuyck, which if you were listening to this show, you might have cashed a ticket there. We got as high as 35-1 throughout the course of the season. We pushed it a handful of times, so kudos for that bet getting home. We're going to take our first time out of the day. When we come back, looking at game four tonight in the NBA Finals, what's the way to play it moving forward? We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you back on Money Moves, Sirius XM Channel 158. The crowd starting to get larger here at Rocco's Pizza and Cantina, live in Omaha, the home of the College World Series, and of course here at Rocco's, the home of the Jello Shot Challenge, where just moments ago we were handed a couple of Jello shots from VSiN listener, Arkansas fan Fred, who was over here, gave us a couple in honor of Arkansas. Even though we're rooting for LSU and we've been buying our shots for LSU, I think he was trying to bring some positive energy to the Hogs with that.
He was. So we're already one in. Very great. We have some LSU fans over to our side. If you didn't hear it already, going hard with some Jello shots. The environment's like, it's not even that it's better. It's just there are more people here. We're already getting started. And the first game's set to get started here in what? An hour and a half, 2 hours from now? My math is terrible.
1 o'clock Central.
1 o'clock Central time. So really looking forward to it, man. Like, this is great. It's going to get more and more busy as we get along. And I can't wait to get into that stadium later today, too. Check it out.
Yes. And we will, coming up in the next segment, take a deeper look at the two games that are coming up today. General thoughts on where the futures board sits in the College World Series. But for now, we do have game four coming up in the NBA Finals. The Indiana Pacers, to the surprise of, I think it's fair to say, the majority of people, no matter how many folks on Twitter want to say that they had it, most of you are Indiana fans. Let's be transparent here. So I credit you for believing in your squad. The story has been unbelievable. The clutch time that the Indiana Pacers have brought to the table has been fantastic. But it's been a huge surprise. They were the second biggest series underdog in an NBA Finals the last 25 years. Yep. If they do go on to pull off this upset, it'll be the biggest upset in the last half century. So it's a huge deal what they've been able to do, up 2-1, but a 6-point dog tonight on home court.
So, I mean, again, we've said this so many times. It's just the confliction of what you do here, right? We're at a 10-point spread for game one in favor of Oklahoma City. This number today says that they are 12-point favorites back at home. So we are looking at a theoretical upgrade for Oklahoma City, despite the fact that they are down 2-1 in this series, are 1-2 against the spread in this series as well. I just can't do it. Like, you can't realistically come in here, I would say, and go bet the Oklahoma City Thunder to win this thing. But again, we will reiterate, the straight-up loser, the zigzag, you are hitting at a 65% clip if you're just betting these straight-up losers in this postseason. And I know we've said it a lot, but like, this has been the theme of this postseason so far. So how, like, is that how we just handle this? I'm legitimately asking because I don't know what to do anymore, right? Yeah. Like, you can't come in here and tell me that the team that's down in 2-1 of the series, down in terms of the ATS numbers, has been, by the way, we should note, awful on the road in this postseason.
0-8 against the spread.
Yep, 4-4 straight up, has clearly been a little overvalued by the market. And yet, the trend would tell you that this is going to be a spot where the Thunder come out, blow their doors off. They're going to cover six. But it's just, it's so, it, to me, it's really hard to decide what you're going to do there.
So that's where I was going to go. I feel like this game goes one of two ways, where if you like the Indiana Pacers, I almost don't even want to take the six and you just take them on the money line, because they're 9-4 ATS as dogs this postseason. They've won all nine of those games outright. Oklahoma City, how many close games have they really played? It's almost like they blow out a team or they lose outright.
No.
So that's, I know it sounds silly, but that's kind of my thought process. I don't have a bet on the side in this game, but my brain kind of goes that direction with the Pacers just continuing to upset the apple cart in a way where they just win these games outright. They either don't cover or they win.
Yeah, so to your point, in this postseason, Indiana Pacers have played 10 clutch games. They're 9-1 in those games. And again, clutch game, clutch time is considered within 5 points, five or fewer minutes left to go. So Indiana has won those at an exponential rate. Oklahoma City has only played in 9 clutch games so far in this postseason. They're just 5-4. They've been outscored by 2.5 points per 100 possessions in those clutch games. Meanwhile, the net rating for Indiana, again, think about, we talk about the unsustainability. Clutch time is generally very random, right? Mm-hmm. It is the last 5 minutes of a basketball game. You can do anything in 5 minutes. Absolutely nuts. But Indiana's not only 9-1 in these clutch games, they have a net rating of plus 45.7. That's absolute insanity, and one thing you would think cannot be sustained. And over the larger sample size, that is going to be true. But guess what? As we have said many times, postseasons inherently are small sample sizes. You can get hot and do these sort of things. So I think to your point, I mean, if you like Oklahoma City, if you think they're going to do this, why lay six where you could play a couple of alternate lines? Like, if they're going to cover this game, they're going to cover it with relative ease. Like, I don't think this is going to be one where you're going to need to sweat out free throws at the end to cover a number if you're Oklahoma City. Again, if you like Oklahoma City. But to your point, if you like Indiana, you're probably putting a little bit on the money line, you're putting something here on plus six, because if this is tight inside six, this is a clutch game. They have thrived in those situations. Yeah. The Thunder have not, and that would benefit Indiana.
And I appreciate you clarifying, because I think the way that I phrased that was kind of weird. Like, how many close games have they played? I meant, how many close games have they played and won?
Yeah.
Especially close games with Indiana. Obviously, they've been great in those final moments. Looking at the bet splits for today, we do see 56% of the handle laying that number with OKC. The total is getting a lot of love to that over. Opened as the shortest total we've seen in this series, 225.5, but now up to 227 on DraftKings right now. 80% of the handle, 75% of the bets on that over. Reminder, if you want access to this betting splits data, we have it for both DraftKings and Circa up at VSiN.com each and every day, so you get the perspective of the broader public big book like DraftKings, but also where those sharp bets are coming in at Circa. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get access to all the articles and the bet splits as little as $9.99 for your first month available right now. But do you think are you surprised rather that that's the way the market has gone? Because I know you said you kind of thought this was an under series, and now we're back to that baseline number we saw in game three.
Not entirely. I mean, look, Indiana, when you look at the way that they were playing, they were very good in transition in this last game, although that ended up staying under, right, for the previous contest. But they were very good in transition. They got to play their game. If you look at it from a possession standpoint, you had about 100 possessions in that game, relatively quick for a postseason contest, especially from what we've seen. So if you get the same tempo and you get Oklahoma City to show up here on offense, then there's probably going to be a situation where you can get this thing to go over the total, because that is the other bugaboo here for Oklahoma City. You know, we've talked about the road struggles, but what are the road struggles? The road struggles have been the offense has just completely disappeared. The defense has actually been fine. This last game was one of their worst defensive performances of the entire postseason, and even then still, Indiana's offensive rating in the 61st percentile. So it's not even like it was an incredible offensive performance. So for Oklahoma City, if you're going to win this game potentially, maybe your offense starts to turn around here. Again, the road shooting has been abysmal. The road support from other guys not named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been abysmal. So if you come out and win this game, better support from the role players, and then maybe the game goes over, and I think maybe that's what the market's potentially looking at.
Okay, so let's get into that. With the Pacers, they had a lot of support from their bench last game.
Yep.
Benedict Mathurin goes off. Tyrese Haliburton, who's your star, he has not only the assist and the facilitating numbers there, but he was also doing great as a scorer. Anything from a props perspective that stands out to you? And maybe go Indiana first and then OKC if there's anything.
Yeah, I mean, so for Indiana, I'm just going to be curious to see. Like, so Tyrese Haliburton has a good game, right? We've talked about this, though. He's generally not a scorer. You need to be a facilitator more than a scorer. But if so, let's play with the theory that the zigzag is correct, as it has been so long. So that would mean Oklahoma City is going to play very well defensively. He's going to hold them down. Do you go Tyrese Haliburton under assists? Because if OKC plays its game, that means that they're playing well defensively, the assist opportunities aren't there, and then Halliburton's not going to have the opportunities. Again, we're just rolling with the theory that the market's getting this right, that the zigzag's going to be correct. Mm-hmm. So I think if you think that, then Haliburton under on assist could be something that is worth looking at. I still really believe in Siakam. His point total prop right now is 19.5. He has 21 in game three. He had 19 in game one. I just think this is a matchup that works for him. If you can find, like, 19.5 is pretty much a baseline number for him across the board. So, like, 19-plus or something like that, if you wanted to go in Siakam's direction, I still think those opportunities will be there regardless of the result, too, at least in Indiana.
The under on Haliburton is interesting to me because you have plus 110 under 8.5 assists for Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
This is a number that is just, it was at 6.5. It creeps up to 7.5 with him at home. He has an unbelievable assist day in game three. So now we're up even more to 8.5. If there was a time to probably go under that number, it's with the market overvaluing it right now.
Well, and look, so again, like, if we're right, the Thunder are going to show up here defensively, then, of course, like, look at the first two games. He goes under his assist prop in both games. And again, the common thread there was that the Thunder's defense was very good in that game. So if we're right, and I say we, I just mean like the betting market, if the betting market's correct in pushing this up and the Thunder win by margin, that would lend itself to then the Pacers having a down offensive day, and that means the assist opportunities don't fall for Haliburton.
I did real quickly, just to go back to the spread, come across this note. Our good buddy Ben Fox, now betting analyst over at Yahoo Sports, said if the 6.5 or 6 line holds, the Thunder will be the biggest road favorites in an NBA Finals game since at least 1991. The Lakers were also laying 6 in game 5 of the 2001 Finals against the 76ers, so a massive road number for OKC when you put it in that context.
Wow, yeah, that's really good. Dude, I can't. Can you bring yourself to do this?
No.
Like, given what we've seen, it's crazy. It's absolutely wild.
I like the perspective, though. Honestly, it's like, take the Pacers on the money line to win in a close game or take OKC at alt numbers.
I think that's like, that depends on what you like. I'm not saying do both. If you are an OKC backer, it makes all the sense in the world to go like alt lines. It really does, because if they're going to win, they're going to win big. If you like Indiana, you're taking a piece of the money line as well as the six, because if it's a clutch game, again, and by the way, the point, because a lot of people write about this talking point, it would seem, the Oklahoma City Thunder played only 24 clutch games in the regular season. That was the fewest by far, 29.
They haven't been put in that situation
a lot. Correct.
Much.
And it tells you the extremes. The Washington Wizards were second least in 29, right? So one team was always blowing people out. The other team was always getting blown out.
Yep. That's so good. Okay, still so much more to come this hour on Money Moves. Last segment, we'll have VP of Operations at Circa, Mike Palm, on the set with us. But coming up next, breaking down the College World Series live from Omaha. Two games in Bracket 1 coming up this afternoon.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money Moves live from Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha, coming at you. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, and as we welcome to the set, the one and only Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circa, one of the guys making this whole week possible for all of us. How's it been going so far?
I think it's awesome. You know, I've probably been to Omaha a dozen times before because I'm from Iowa and we used to come out for various reasons, but never during the College World Series. This is a really great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Very collegial, right, between all these fans, even the SEC rival. I mean, LSU-Arkansas is the rivalry. You think it's LSU and Alabama because of the football in recent years, but they used to play the Friday after Thanksgiving. Remember, that's the rivalry. But everybody's here to have a good time. There's no ill will. Everybody wants to drink as much as they can. We're going to find out about the heat and humidity a little bit this afternoon. Sure. But so far, I rated an A+.
The weather's been great. Coming from Vegas, where we're at, which 107 in the high, and I'm walking around yesterday. It's 90 degrees with a breeze. Come on. Now.
It is funny when you see some people complaining about the 90 degrees. I'm like, this feels amazing. What are you talking about?
I walked over the pedestrian bridge to Council Bluffs last night and sat in the park and watched all these people driving their bikes around, kids having a pickup baseball game. It was awesome.
Yep. It's really cool.
Because you mentioned the Arkansas LSU element of it, is it kind of a shame that they have to play each other straight away in this?
I don't know that from a handicapping angle or a bettor's angle, it's not a good thing. Where you can try to identify teams in the other side of the bracket that have a lot of value that you think can make it to the championship series. So I think from a betting perspective, for their fan base's perspective, it's tough. Because the loser of that game is going to go through so much pitching to have to get back and beat the winner twice. That it's, I mean, essentially a huge leg up for whoever wins the night game tomorrow night.
Okay, so the popular angle being the loser of the game, bet them then to win the whole thing, right? How much does that adjust? Like, it's a very popular angle. These are two of the better teams in the field. How much is that adjustment really going to be, let's say, if LSU loses this first game to win the College World Series?
I'm hoping enough because I want to bet it.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't seem like it would be that much of an adjustment.
I mean, what are you going to get him at, $4? I mean, $3.75?
Maybe.
Maybe. I think it's too tough. I think if you have to come all the way through the loser's bracket, you'd want to get 7-8-1 on the team.
Sure.
And I don't think it will be that because everybody just feels that they're cut above the others. Mm-hmm.
So go through bracket one then, if you think there could be some opportunity on that side. Obviously, we have the two games getting started today.
So I do have an Arizona future live at 30-1. So I'm not hedging it. I think they can win the first game. If they can get by Coastal today, then I might think about maneuvering. I do feel, looking at the schedule, it's a huge advantage to play on Friday. So I like Oregon State because if you have a good 1-2 pitcher, like LSU does, but they're not playing on Friday, you can go your 1-win today on Friday, your 2-win on Sunday, and you can come back with your 1 on Wednesday and come back with your 2 on Saturday for game 1 of the championship if you can stay in the winner's side. So I think I like Oregon State. I will make a future on Oregon State as a little bit of a hedge to my Arizona bet. I might like Louisville the least of any of the 8 teams to win it. And I don't think they're the worst. I just don't like the way it draws for them. And I don't know what to make of Murray State because they seem that their bats have just come alive now for a month. I mean, I suggested to Jensen Lewis on the popular VSiN by the books. I don't know where they got that title from. I suggested to him yesterday, should UCLA stay Barnett, their number one pitcher, for the winner of LSU-Arkansas and throw their 2 or a bullpen game, try to get by Murray? He said, absolutely not. You can't take the chance to lose game 1. You have to throw Barnett and then hope to, you know, get lucky in the second game.
How does this neutral side affect scoring? Like, is this going to be one where it holds it down? Or are we going to?
Well, you see all these totals are much lower than the regionals and super regionals.
The expectation is.
So when I listen to all the people that come here and they say this park plays really big.
Yeah.
The wind seems to be a crosswind. I'm walking around today. It seems to be a crosswind blowing from left to right, right?
Yeah.
That's what it seems. Not really out or in.
When I'm walking here, it's blowing in my face.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Not really out or in.
Yeah.
So the total is it's interesting because it got bet down. We opened 9.5. Now it's 9. Now it's 9 juiced under at a lot of books when I was over across the bridge looking at the different books in Iowa, what the numbers were. So it's interesting. I lean over just because I think Arizona's a dead over team. Yeah. Coastal's more of an under team, but I trust Jensen, who calls more of these games and saw Arizona for 3 games. He likes an under, so I'll pass.
I would say, too, because you mentioned Louisville being a team you don't have any interest in, that bullpen is a group that is going to ruin your under if you're somebody that's betting unders in those games.
Yeah, I'm thinking about laying the run line with Oregon State tonight.
Okay, I like that.
I don't want to lay. I don't ever want to lay $2 in a baseball game, not a college game, not a pro, not an MLB game.
I would say especially not a college game,
right?
To be honest.
260, you have to play the run line if you're going to play. And there's so few derivative markets is the problem, Jonathan. Like, there's no first five. We put up home run props.
Okay.
At Circa. I don't know if you guys knew that.
No.
So Jeff Davis, Derek said, let's get some props up. Nobody offers props on college baseball. So we have the top 3 players from each team, yes or no home run in each game. So the we list them a day ahead of the game. So the ones for these four games today were already up yesterday, and he's posted the ones for tomorrow now.
So it's funny you say that. We didn't have enough time for him. One of the questions I was going to ask Grissom, who bets this a lot, was what were some of the different markets you'd like to see get posted for something like this? Because even in a setting, you can go over under tournament wins. You could do so many different unique things. I would assume there's just not demand, so you don't want to do something like that. But if it becomes more popular,
there's no demand because it's not available. When
correct.
People ask
yep.
me how are you growing the college baseball, right? I say it's very we offer more games, but we don't offer more markets. Yep. We got to start. No first five. Come on,
why? Yeah.
People
right.
would bet first fives.
That's all.
Especially
I
with college bullpens, yeah. right?
Would love to bet on these
first
starting
five.
Pitchers.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think we got to get into doing more of that as we look to next year. We're making a huge investment here to grow this market. There's more and more podcasts like Grissom's, yep. right, and people that study it. So let's get some more markets out there. I know it's tough because there's very few guys that are good at booking base.
When we're here next year, I want to be sweating out like a first three. Between
yeah.
you know what I mean? Oregon, like an Oregon State, Arizona.
Outs recorded. I want outs recorded.
Yeah, from.
Like Scuba last also, night. I had over 18.5. That's yeah. a fun way to sweat a game.
Let's get it done.
Beautiful. Also, that was very subtle, the way that you put that when we're back next year. Yes, we would like to put in our bid to be a show that gets to return, if possible.
Will you be still in this time slot next year? What can we put up a number on that?
Will we be partnering this time?
I'm going to take,
oh,
I'm gonna take plus 140. He's back with humans in some form.
Stop
by the time, this
on.
Time next year.
I think we've been a good team.
Could
yeah?
happen. I was told by the big boss today that he likes us a lot.
What happens when Lombardi comes back after they go 7-6 and lose the Mayo Bowl?
Dude.
I think he and Gil would make a great partnership.
That's the famous draft podcast with yes. Matt Brown and him and Disney from a few years ago.
You wouldn't have to recreate the antagonism
no.
right there. It's right there. It's right there.
The North Carolina offseason has been one that will go down in the history books for many, many reasons. Last couple minutes here. Did want to get your perspective as somebody who's been around this for a long time. The hike increases that we have seen in Illinois and DraftKings following suit with that news coming. I think it was yesterday, right,
yep.
that we saw that?
Well, I like that for us because, right, we're not going to do that. Little secret, we can't. We don't have the tech to do it right now. But we've had probably four long conversations about how we're going to react to this. I guess the leading option right now is raise the minimum bet.
Sure.
I mean, how can you fade a 25-cent tax on a $5 bet, a 10, a 20? Maybe it's 50. Maybe 50 becomes the minimum bet at Circa. I don't know. I told Derek you have to take a hard look at just getting out of Illinois. It isn't going to
really?
End here. Remember last year, yep. he took it from 15 to 40 for the big boys. We went from 15 to 20. And I'm talking about the Governor Pritzker in Illinois and the tax rate, different depending on how much you write. Now this year is the 25 cent, and for the big guys, 50 cent because they hit that threshold. What's next year?
Right.
But it's not going to end. The problem is we have a three-year deal, two more with the Blackhawks, with Marquee and the Cubs, and, you know, with Full House. But I don't know how we make money here. I mean, we have a model that holds 2.5%, and we're upside down every time somebody makes a bet.
So let me ask you this, and the whole point of regulation, you correct me if I'm wrong.
This is exactly where I was going
to
go.
Is to keep money here, right? Like, you want it regulated, you want to have your eye on it, you want to benefit from some of the, you know, tax or whatever it's going to be. Do people in Illinois just not understand, like, what you're doing is going to drive away potential operators who don't want to operate there anymore, and maybe some bettors? I can get maybe Joe Schmo not really caring for the most part. You're going to take a hit regardless, though, in your state.
I even think Joe Schmo, who hates all these hidden taxes that he gets on his bill at a restaurant, a convenience fee, this and that, and now sees a 50 cents on his
yeah.
ticket, is going to hate that as well. For all the guys that I know that are pro bettors in Illinois, they said, well, we're going to keep one book in Illinois. Well, I have seven. I'm going to keep one, and I'm going to go back to betting offshore or with the local
yep.
guys.
Yeah.
That's just it. It's just over for me. And so, to your point, I think regulator, or not regulators, but lawmakers look at it as this is a high-margin business, and there's a way to drive revenue. We can increase the amount of the tax, but you're right. It just shuts people out of the market.
Okay. How deep are you in on the Jello shots so far?
I did 7 or 8 on Wednesday, and so I'm about 25 all in for the weekend. But remember, I'm leaving early tomorrow. Are you
yes.
leaving today or
tomorrow?
I think
tomorrow? We're all on the same flight.
We're leaving tomorrow
Southwest
as well.
Yep. 11
yes,
a.m.
Exactly.
Southwest.
We're on that
in.
As well.
Yeah.
But
let's get there early because my buddy Kelly bartends at the bar at the airport.
Okay.
So
we should
start. Just
yeah,
keep it going.
Yeah, let's
keep
it
going. We got three more for Arkansas that got dropped off at the table here. So as we go to break, we're going to cheers these and finish them off. But, yeah, my plan is when we get off of the air, at 1 o'clock. I'm going to try to bump my numbers. The disrespect that JVT gave you in the odds board, by the way, saying that you were here on a business trip.
He gave the reason.
Yeah, it was based out of respect.
The reset, yes.
It was based out of respect because I think he is a pro. Unlike some people, like Wilbo, who are just sitting around and just drinking Jello shots all day.
But they're professional drinkers. That is their proness.
All right, as we go out to break, cheers. Let's keep it rolling.
No suckage.
Rocco's in Omaha, ladies and gentlemen, having too much fun. If you're around town, make sure you come over and stop by. We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season is going to be here before you know it. And if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, not only are you getting a full year for just $199 of VSiN Pro access, but you're also getting a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook from our good friend Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making more informed NFL bets. You sign up now, you get our daily email with all the best bets from our show hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa Sportsbook, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus the 2025-26 NFL betting guide as well that's dropping July 1st. Don't miss out. This is a limited time offer. Head over to vsin.com/subscribe. Use that promo code BOOK to sign up. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. Promo code BOOK. We are back here. Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 153, live from Omaha, the home of the College World Series. Charles Schwab Field, just a stone's throw away behind us. Jonathan Montoble, Stormy Bontoni, and Mike Palm on set here. Had a great conversation about the breakdown of today's games in the College World Series last segment. Remember, if you miss any of the show, Money Moves, available in podcast form as well. Wherever you get your podcast, you can catch up on everything. But Mike, I got to get your opinion on last night in the Stanley Cup Final Game 4. Edmonton ties this thing in amazing comeback fashion. They go down 3-0 in the first period and end up winning this thing.
Stormy, I know, believe it. I thought I had this game expertly handicapped. I thought built into the line was not enough of the fact that four of the last five Stanley Cup final games that were played between the Panthers and the Oilers in the state of Florida, where Paul Maurice has last change, the Oilers have scored 0 or 1 goals. And so I bet puck line, and my big bet was under 2.5 Oilers goals. Looked good after the first period. Would they have 3 shots on goal or 5, maybe 5 right at the end? They had 2 15 minutes in. Because I thought, you know, he can always match that Barkov line with McDavid's line, and that he can neutralize the head of the snake. The comeback's amazing. We saw it in game one. They punched back in the second period. I did take plus 2.5 goals at the end of one, but small. I made a big loser on the game. I should have, when it got to 3-1, bet him again. Because then, you know, here we go again. But even the heartbreak of the last minute goal to send it to overtime, and they still overcame that on the road.
But you believed down 3-1 when they scored that first goal that the momentum was building.
I thought they were now in the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought they were now back into the game.
How big is this change in goal? I mean, because we were talking about this too. There's a conversation about, hey, we don't know who's going to start the next game. It can't be Skinner, right? We're done.
No. Picard's undefeated.
Yeah.
And he had to be great in the third period for them to win that game. Let's not forget, he won the biggest 4 games for them, right? I mean, he closes out that L.A. series, and then he comes back, and he was dominant. That game 2 against the Knights, they threw everything at him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they talk about Conn Smythe.
He got
for
hurt
Skinner,
in that game and still finished.
Right?
Yeah.
You talk about the Conn Smythe for Skinner. How about if Picard goes 6-0 or whatever? And I mean, it's a small sample, but no way. You've got to go with Picard the whole rest of the way.
It was interesting. We were watching the broadcast together last night and hearing Brian Boucher say he was surprised they made the move from Skinner after the first period. I'm like, how?
Right.
I think more people
for
were surprised
our radio
that they
audience,
started
Mike just kind of looked befuddled like this.
Eddie Olczyk was on with Mitch and Paul early yesterday, I think their second segment, and his lead was, it's going to be a really short hook for Skinner tonight. He must come with Picard.
And he's had a short leash in general.
Let's be realistic. In today's modern NHL, that's the standard, though. You don't wait. I mean, you pulled Ottinger after 2 goals in a game, you know, a deciding game against Edmonton. The change of goalie is also about trying to change the momentum shift for your team, right? It can't be about the ego of the starting goalie that he can never be pulled, or the ego of a starting pitcher if he doesn't have it that day of getting pulled. You have to do what's right. You go in and out with all other different positions. I mean, quarterback is probably the only sacred thing where you don't really want to make a change.
So maybe then you wouldn't agree with this line of thinking, because I kept telling Stormy, I think Knobloch's very lucky. The fact that he put him out there, despite his struggles, allowed them to get into a 3-0 hole, and then they came back, so it's not that big, but I think he should be getting criticized a little bit more. I mean, you risked a lot putting him out there and letting him. I mean, he had a short leash in terms of time on ice, but it was 3 goals. They were lucky they came back in the game.
It would have been interesting, Jonathan, if let's say the 2 goals were early instead of from the 7-minute
sure.
mark on. Would he have pulled them early in the period? He was able to get to the end of the period. They got a power play, in fact, and he was able to get to the to switch. I think he would have had it done at mid-period at 2-0, actually, if it would have been in the first 6-7 minutes of the game.
VP of Operations at Circa, Mike Palm, joining us live from Rocco's in Omaha. So moving forward in the series, to have the College World Series comp here, we're in a best of three now for this Stanley Cup final. It's a pick'em series now when you look at the series price. Edmonton -120, -122 favorite at home coming up in game five. Do you think home ice is kind of the story moving forward and we see this thing go seven?
I think it goes seven. I thought it was going to go seven. I said last night with Tim Murray and Matt, it's going to go six no matter what.
Yep.
If it's 3-1 Panthers, Edmonton's going to win at home. This is not going to be over in five. I think it will go seven like last year. I don't know who's going to win. It's just a coin flip. I mean, these teams are really good, and they're really close. You know, you saw them play 7 games last year, and you're probably going to get it again this year. Can I say this? Gary Bettman, enough with the 2-2-1-1-1 when you have East versus West. These teams now flew all night. They're not going to practice today and play tomorrow. How is that good for
sure.
hockey?
If this goes seven, June 20th is the day of that game. This is an entire month-long Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
What do you think of the NBA schedule? Because those are pretty lengthy, too, even though
it's, like
it's
you
not
don't,
the same
you,
distance.
So the travel's much shorter between
yeah.
Oklahoma
right,
City.
Oklahoma City.
We all grew up with 2-3-2.
Yeah.
And if you were the home team and the favorite in the series, you risked if you lost game one or two, you might not get back home. I like
right.
that. I like that. You might blow three on the road and it's over. You got to
right.
go win one early and on the road. So.
I kind of like the 1-1-1.
You
maybe
like 2-2-1?
Maybe I'm in an island on that.
Because
like
of your profession.
Yeah.
Because of your reporting profession,
sure.
you like that. You
Mike,
don't
like,
want to be at the DoubleTree in Edmonton for 5 nights.
It is an advantage to have 4 of the 7 games, but you also should have to respect the fact that you have the 4 out of the 7. Like you said, don't you dare split the first two with the next 3 being away from home.
Do you know how the WNBA used to play the 3-game series and you played the road
yeah,
team
yeah.
got the first game and then the home team got the last two? That's a very interesting format.
Very strange.
And Caitlin's coming back, so the league's starting back up again.
Did you see, by the way, the viewership numbers in the WNBA since she's
I thought it would be worse than that.
50%.
I thought it would be down 75%.
Yeah. Looking ahead to tonight, we have game 4 in the NBA Finals as well. Pacers up 2-1, which I don't know a lot of people saw coming. What do you think about tonight?
Can I just say this for everybody who says, oh, Jay-Z lost $1 million on under 5.5 games? It could still go under 5.5 games.
It can.
It can, though, right? I mean, the Pacers yes. could win this 4-1. Everybody's just assuming yeah. that bet lost.
I still have an exact series 5 games, like plus 230. So now we're back. Let's go, Indiana. Close them out.
You're going to lay it with LKC now.
You just pick the games. That's
well,
all it was.
I will say, from a betting perspective, even if you don't really like handicap hoops, what I keep coming back to, and we've said it over and over and over again, the zigzags and the fact that the market keeps pricing these in, and it doesn't bleeping matter. Today, as I keep making this comp, Mike, they were 10-point favorites in game one, Oklahoma City was. This line says they're 12-point favorites back at home. They're down 2-1 in the series, and yet they've been upgraded because of this position.
We closed 9.5 in game one and opened 12 in game
yeah.
two, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
it's
yep.
unbelievable. And then 5.5, and you know, and then it goes up. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's remarkable. I can't bet these games. I don't know. I too bet over under 5.5
yeah.
thinking that covers the sweep too. Because right. the sweep got bet down. The sweep we opened plus 340, close 260. Oklahoma City in 5, we opened pick'em, close minus 140.
Yeah.
So I mean all the money was that this was gonna be a short sweep. It's good in that we have more of these off nights you can fill the book and fill stadium swim
yeah.
and get more handle.
And two of the 3 games have been relatively competitive
yeah.
and good, so that's been so far good.
I was just gonna say, what's it say about the respect for OKC that they're still more than $2 favorites in the series despite this deficit?
Can you take the theory that if it's a close game, Indiana's gonna win, and if
yes.
OKC's they're going
yep.
by 20?
That's exactly what we were talking about.
Well, I mean,
said.
You could
yep.
bet it like that, right?
So my whole thing is, if you like OKC tonight, find some alternate lines and play those. Yeah. If you like Indiana, take six, play some money line. Because it's, we were talking about it, they have played very, we have played way more clutch games if you're Indiana, both regular season and postseason. Oklahoma City is 5-4 in clutch games. They haven't covered a road game, but there's so many different things you can see here.
Why so much negativity about SGA's game now? All I see is the Twitter, oh, it's awful for the game. All he does is go to the free throw. He goes to the free throw line less than all the other guys that average 30 points a game. He does. Jordan was 12 times a game. They all went more than him.
And think about that. And that pace back then, too. Like, it wasn't like one of these up-and-down games.
These narratives
was a good
are
chunk
all
of the
correct.
Game.
All incorrect, factually.
Yep. People just like to complain.
I know.
It's the same thing. Like, people were bitching about the logos on the court, and Adam Silver eventually had to come out. Like, they were slipping on them. They were slipping on the logos. It's dangerous. Stop complaining about it, all right? All they do is bitch.
Last minute before we let you go, I know you've been going across the border to make some MLB bets as well. Do you have anything today?
I didn't bet anything today. I might go across between games. Are you guys going to go to?
Not for the first game.
Going to go to the night game?
You're going to the night game, yeah.
Yeah. I did go over, and I did bet the first game here. It's interesting on the three apps that I have in Iowa. I couldn't get down more than 500 on a side in this game, which is pretty interesting.
Red alert, the second of college baseball bet.
Here we go. Goes to Trader. Trader reviewing.
Real quick, last 30 seconds, yes or no question, is it worth the trip? Should we go get Runza today?
Ooh.
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had never even heard of it, and now I'm hearing it's like the best thing since sliced bread out here. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you have to since you're here, right?
Yes.
And then you can make a judgment and say we'll never do it again, or we'll do it every year.
I think that's going to
be every year, see?
Yes, exactly. Yep. So we'll get a couple Jell-O shots. We'll go make a couple bets across the border and go get Runzas. Nailed it. Mike Palm, everybody, enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the weekend. College World Series action. We got to take a break when we come back, resetting hour two of the program live from Rocco's in Omaha.